And allow me to pray as we come now to God's word. Gracious Father, my prayer, our prayer this morning is that as we come to your word, that we would not only hear your word and not only understand your word, but that we, each one of us, Father, would place ourselves under your word this morning, would place ourselves under the authority of God's word. And we pray this in Christ's name, amen. It goes without saying that certain sermons are more difficult to deliver than others. And they are so for a variety of different reasons. Some sermons are difficult to preach simply because the text is difficult to understand. What is the author saying here? We sometimes ask. Other sermons are difficult to preach, perhaps, because they present a particular doctrine that with our finite minds is difficult to comprehend. Other sermons are difficult to deliver because they might present, again, a doctrine or perhaps a commandment, an exhortation that is easy to understand but difficult to receive and accept. This morning, I'm going to be preaching a sermon that is, for me, difficult to preach. And for yet another reason. And that is because our text this morning is really all about how you are to relate to me. And that's a little bit awkward for me, I must admit. A little bit difficult for me to stand up here and to preach this text. However, and not only me, but of course, pastors and elders of the church. However, of course, this is not me telling you these things, but it is God's word telling you these things. And also, since we here at Fellowship Baptist Church value and seek to adopt the method of, in our preaching, of verse-by-verse exposition, it is also true that this topic, if you will, comes up in the scriptures and in our sermon this morning, not as a result of any agenda of mine, but rather I have done what I do every single week. I turn the page, as I've been doing in the book of Hebrews now for a year and a half almost. I turn the page. So this is not my agenda, but rather, and hear me, it is the agenda of the Holy Spirit who inspired the book of Hebrews as he inspired all of Scripture. All of Scripture is God-breathed. So it is difficult for me, a little bit difficult for me to preach this message this morning, but at the same time, and on the other hand, it is also something that I've been greatly looking forward to. Because, not because I want to lord it over, but rather it's a wonderful opportunity for us to together understand who pastors and elders are and who they are supposed to be by Scripture. Indeed, it's an opportunity for me, if you will, to kind of bare my heart and expose my heart this morning for a number of minutes through God's Word, my heart as a pastor. But ultimately, and I think most importantly, this is a wonderful opportunity to understand really who the church is. Who the church is. For this passage, this text, which was just read, really addresses sheep and shepherds. Sheep and shepherds. So let's plunge into it. Our text is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 to 19. And let me say right at the get-go that we are primarily, for virtually all of our time this morning, going to be spending it in verse 17 this morning. And verse 17 begins in this fashion. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Since this group that the readers are supposed to obey and be submissive to, not only rule, but also these ones, watch out for your souls. This is a specific type of leader. They are not talking here about kings and prime ministers and presidents. Rather, the passage is addressing those who rule over you. The passage is clearly addressing as those who watch out for your souls. It is addressing pastors and elders. And so if we're speaking as we are and applying the text as we are here at Fellowship Baptist Church in Cranbrook, let me make clear that what we are talking about here and what verse 17a right at the get-go is talking about, those ones to obey and be submissive to, are our brother Walt, Elder Coyote, Pastor Peter, and myself, the pastors and elders of Fellowship Baptist Church. And therefore, as we enter into it, as I said, it is a difficult passage for me to preach in that regard. For as we immediately enter into it, what we immediately see right off the bat is an imperative, a command. And it is a difficult one, isn't it? A little bit hard. And that is, once again, obey and be submissive. Obey and be submissive. That's what the text says. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean as a church family to be obeyed and submissive to those who rule over you and watch out for your souls, to the pastors, to the elders of the church? Well, as you know this very well from experience, as I love to do, first of all, we're going to talk about what it doesn't mean. It does not mean, and hear me, it does not mean blind allegiance. It does not mean blind allegiance. The Berean church in the first century, and in the book of Acts, in Acts 17, the Berean church, as Paul and Silas visit there on the missionary journeys, the Berean church is commended for being fair-minded. How so? They receive the word, it says in Acts 17. They receive the word with all readiness and search the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. They search the scriptures. In other words, and this is why they are to be commended, and I myself, and any pastor will tell you, they would love to have a church that is continually testing everything against the scriptures. They were to be commended. This is most commendable, that they tested everything against the scriptures. So no, back here in Hebrews 13 and 17, what we are talking about when we hear obey and be submissive, we are not talking about blind allegiance. On the one hand, we are not talking about blind allegiance. But on the other hand, a wrongful way to understand this would be the following. We are not talking about it as if the voice of the elders is just one voice among all voices, just one voice to be mixed in with all the other voices. We are, and I recognize this, and hear me, we are a congregationally governed church. That is, ultimately decisions are made in this church by the congregation, by the church membership, that is. And I applaud that. I applaud that. As a longtime Baptist, we are a congregationally governed church. However, Fellowship Baptist Church, and hear the difference, is congregationally governed, but it is elder-led. It is congregationally governed, but it is elder-led. And therefore, hear me again, the voice of the elders is not just another voice amongst all voices. So, having established on the one hand, on this hand, what it does not mean, what does it mean to obey and be submissive? Well, to be honest, I don't really think I need to spend a lot of time on this, explaining it. I think we do have at least the beginning of a pretty good understanding what it means to obey and be submissive, don't we? We don't really need to unpack and go through a lot of word studies on this to obey and be submissive, but I will. I will explain what it means simply by way of an illustration, or two, actually. But first of all, an illustration to indicate what it does mean. If you have a doctor, a family doctor, a personal doctor, what is the nature, I would have you think, what is the nature of that relationship? By attaching yourself to that doctor, what are you doing? Hear me, you are putting yourself under the care of that doctor. You are putting yourself under their care, and you are, by that, taking up a posture, as it were, of submission to that doctor. And thus, when you go to the doctor, to that one, him or her, and say you've got chest pains or something else significant, and you go to them and visit them in an appointment, at the end of that appointment, what you do not say, I expect you do not say to that doctor is, well, thanks, doc, I really appreciate it. And so just so you know, this afternoon, I'm going to ask my plumber what he thinks about these chest pains. And then I'm going to ask my accountant what they think about these chest pains. And at the end of all of that, I'm going to figure out what I should do. That would be extremely silly. That would be, again, hear me, life-threatening and dangerous. Now, again, we are not talking about blind allegiance. Sometimes, to continue with the illustration, sometimes with a doctor, we need to seek a second opinion. We all recognize that. It is not blind allegiance in my illustration. It is not blind allegiance in that which my illustration is illustrating. But with doctors, we place ourselves under their care. And by doing so, once again, we assume a posture of submission to that doctor. The relationship of patient and doctor is so. The relationship of real, literal sheep to a real, literal shepherd is so. The sheep are under the care of the shepherd. The sheep are, if they knew it, they might not understand it this way, but they are placed themselves in a position of submission to the shepherd. And the relationship of spiritual sheep to their spiritual shepherd is so. Now, before moving on, I'm going to say something. I feel I need to say something, and I'm going to say it again later, maybe one or two times later in different ways. Please understand me. I am preaching this text this morning because it is the next verse in the book of Hebrews, here in Hebrews 13, that we've been working through since the beginning of 2024. I am also preaching this text because it is important, vitally important. But I am not preaching this text because I see Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church as being deficient in this way, or faulty this way, or needing a slap on the wrist, as it were, in this way. Rather, I recognize that I'm very much largely preaching this, as they say, to the choir this morning. People who understand that, people who understand this well, people who live this out. And thus, for 6.5 years, actually more than 6.5 years now, as I was counting it up last night, for more than that, hear me, it has been an absolute joy and an absolute privilege on my part to be the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church. And that leads me to a second illustration. Let me illustrate it in this way, in a real life way, in fact, in a real life way drawn from Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church. Back in those days of COVID, as I was and the fellow leaders of CFBC were seeking to lead us through that time of COVID, I had a conversation with one person. Well, I had conversations with lots of people, but this one stuck with me, wonderfully stuck with me. One person was conversing with me, and this person said, actually, you know what? I don't necessarily agree with all the things we're doing right now. But I go along with it, and I submit to it out of respect for you, Craig. And actually, I'm sure this person said, not that I required by any means, but it fits with the comment. I go along with it, I submit to it because of my respect for you, Pastor Craig. Wow. Wow. If I talk to any pastor, and I have related that to a few pastors as we've looked back on COVID, each one of those pastors, I'm sure, could ask for nothing more than that. Nothing more than that. And I say, what incredible, beyond that, what incredible maturity that person exhibited. What incredible spiritual maturity that person exhibited on that occasion. Obey and be submissive. That is, place yourself under the care. And as you are doing so, you are adopting a posture of submission. As I earlier drew on the analogy of a doctor and medical practices, that leads me to the next point. For in verse 17, as we continue on, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. And now look at what comes next. For they watch out for your souls. They watch out for your souls. Here at Fellowship Baptist Church, I could go onto my computer and find there that I have a job description that came as I came on board here 6.5 years ago. I have a job description, and that's great. But as I was thinking this week, what better job description is there? What more succinct but precise job description is there for an elder, for a pastor, than that? They watch out for your souls. They watch out for your souls. That is truly my job description, and the job description for Pastor Peter, for Coyote, for Walt. So how do we do that? How do we do so? How do we watch out for your souls? Well, to flesh this out, I want to draw briefly on a few other scriptures to draw out from this at least some of the ways. I will not be able to exhaustively deal with this, but at least some of the ways that elders / pastors watch out for your souls. 4 points here. 4 points. Number one, shepherds, pastors, elders, shepherds maintain the walls, first of all, of the sheep pen. Shepherds must maintain the walls of the sheep pen. What do I mean by that? In other words, pastors and elders and spiritual shepherds guard doctrine. They guard doctrine. Maybe that wasn't the first thing you expected me to bring up, but it is indeed one of the most important things pastors and elders and shepherds do. They guard doctrine. Consider the epistles of the New Testament. Consider those various churches that were being addressed through those writings in the New Testament. Time and time again, we see in those situations what was really the issue at play. Time and time again, it is false teaching. It is false doctrine. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, where Paul is giving instructions to Titus, he says, there, they, the elders, the shepherds, the pastors, are by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. To exhort and to convict by sound doctrine. Pastors and elders guard doctrine, first of all. Guard sound teaching. And thus, number one, they watch out for your souls in that way. Number two, shepherds also watch out for straying sheep. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I hadn't intended to say that, but it just came to me. Shepherds watch out for straying sheep. In other words, more specifically, pastors and elders, spiritual shepherds, address sin. This is not easy. It is not easy. It is difficult. It is very difficult at times. But it is so important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, as Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Pastors and elders address sin. Why? Because pastors and elders watch out for your souls. Number three now. Shepherds, first of all, in the analogy that I've been using, shepherds protect the sheep. Shepherds protect the sheep. In other words, pastors and elders protect against wolves. Why do you use that word, Craig? I use it, first of all, because it is so perfect with the analogy of shepherds and sheep, that those shepherds must protect against wolves, specifically, as they protect the sheep. But I also use that word because it's the very word used by the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 when he is addressing the Ephesian elders. And he says there in Acts 20, this is Luke, once again, writing the book of Acts, and he is speaking of Paul addressing the Ephesian elders for the last time. These are his last words to the Ephesian elders. This is what he deems most important to tell this group of elders. He says to them, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this," Paul said, "that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Shepherds protect the sheep. They protect the sheep against wolves. At times, shepherds do battle with wolves. Again, it's not easy. Again, it's difficult. It's very difficult at times, but it is important, once again. Why? Because pastors and elders are watching out for your souls. Number four, and perhaps most importantly here, and this actually plays into the other three and many other aspects of this, addressing this question of how pastors and elders look out for your soul. Number four, shepherds nourish the sheep. Pastors and elders preach the word. They must preach the word. That is why my preaching Bible, which I have up here Sunday by Sunday, and by the way, preaching Bible is a little bit of a kind euphemism for those of us pastors who are getting on, are no longer young, but getting on a little bit in age. A preaching Bible is actually a kind euphemism for a large print Bible. But my preaching Bible up here, which was given to me by my wonderful wife, has inscribed inside the cover of that Bible by my wonderful wife, 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." Thus, pastors and elders, watch out for your souls in that way also. Before I move on to the next point, I want to be bold here. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to ask a question of you. Not only do you not have to answer this out loud, please don't answer this out loud, because it may be a little bit of a hard question, a probing question. Again, I'm confident in Fellowship Baptist Church, and thank God always, but nevertheless, I'm going to ask this question. How does that make you feel that God has ordained that there would be those who watch out for your souls? How does that make you feel? What is the immediate reaction within your hearts as you hear that? Do you bristle at that? Or are you grateful that there is one who labors in that way, watching out for your soul? We continue on in the text, still in the first part of verse 17. We move on. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. I actually gave a devotional a couple of board meetings ago. I can't remember when exactly. Fairly recently, I gave a devotional to start the board meeting on this verse. And actually, it was entirely focused on those words. As those who must give an account. There, it was a devotional directed towards church leaders. As those who must give an account. I mentioned earlier that some of these duties are very difficult, and I hope you can imagine with me that they are very difficult at times. In fact, I confess, I'm honest before you here, that there is a great temptation to let these things slide at times. There's a great temptation to do so. In fact, there's a great temptation to walk away from them, to ignore those responsibilities. Then you might ask, well, why don't you? Answer, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account. For Walt, for Coyote, for Peter, for myself, one day we must give an account. We must stand before God and give an account of this stewardship that we have been granted. Walt, Coyote, Peter, myself are actually under shepherds. We are under shepherds under the chief shepherd, 1 Peter. We are under shepherds under the great shepherd. Oops, that's next week. Cast your eye down a verse or two. We are under shepherds under the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. We are merely under shepherds. We are stewards, once again. The word has come up a few times this morning, hasn't it? We are stewards entrusted to watch out for your souls. And as with any stewardship, there is accountability. And therefore, we perform our duty. Not in order to lord it over you, but we perform it as those who must one day give an account. In conclusion, once again, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. And then it says the following, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And then the author goes on, pray for us. For we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. We've heard this morning from the scriptures, and I've tried as best as I am able to present to you the duties and the calling of a pastor slash elder. We've talked about the responsibility that they that we watch out for your souls. We've talked about the weightiness of it, that we do so as those who must one day give an account. But ultimately, this passage is not addressed to me and Peter and Walt and Coyote. Primarily, and I think you've seen this, primarily, first and foremost, it is very much addressed to the sheep, to the flock. Let them, the text tells you, let them, us, do so, exercise this office, these responsibilities, this stewardship. Let them do so with joy. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. for that would be unprofitable for you. Again, I thank Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church once again, and this will not be the final time. There's still one more to come. But I thank you for the last 6.5 years has been very much for me a time of great joy to serve in this way. But in conclusion, as you are exhorted here, O church family, to let us do so with joy and not with grief, how are you to do that? Let's just leave it at the end here, at the conclusion, with 3 quick points. And again, there could be more, but 3 quick points, some of which we've said, most of which we've said already. But let's just summarize at the end. How is it that you enable us to do so with joy? Number one, by doing what we've already said. By doing that which the text began with this morning. What is the primary exhortation, the main imperative, the main commandment of the text right at the outset? Obey and be submissive. That is, place yourselves under their care, adopting a posture of submission, remembering that they are watching out for your souls as those who must give an account. And thus, obey and be submissive, and do so joyfully and thankfully, with thanksgiving. Place yourselves under their care. Number two, well, I just said it 5 seconds ago, but I'm going to emphasize it as a separate point. Number two, do so with thanksgiving. Remember that question I asked you earlier. Do you find yourself bristling a little bit inside with this? Or are you thankful that God has ordained and placed people who are watching out for your souls, for your eternal souls? Do so thankfully. Be thankful that God has granted these men to do so. Number three, verses 18 and 19, which I just read a moment ago. Pray for us. Here, perhaps, in verses 18 and 19, as I read that, the author may be giving us an indication that he himself, this author who was unknown to us, may be one of those who rule over. It may be the case. Perhaps that's the case. We don't know. We don't know who the author is. But regardless of whether that is literally the case or not, the fact that the author has placed 18 about praying right after verse 17, in the end of verse 17, let them do so with joy. I think he is suggesting here what is clear and obvious throughout the scriptures, and that is we are to, and you are, to pray for these ones. And again, and for the final time, and with some specificity now, I thank you once again. For many of you, specifically in this regard, many of you say to me time and time again, and I believe this, I know this to be true, you will say to me, you know, Pastor, we pray for you every single morning. I know that's to be true. In fact, I see some of you nodding at me right now. How wonderful that is. And I know it's not just me. It's Pastor Peter and Coyote and Walt, your pastors, your elders. And I thank you. I feel that. And I thank you. I'm so tempted to go into illustration here after illustration of how I've known that to be the case. I will not, for the sake of time, but I thank you. Finally then this morning, consider the context. I want you, as we close, to consider the context. Now, that's a very odd thing to do. I thought, Craig, you almost always, if you're going to consider the context, which you almost always do, that you almost always consider it right at the beginning. As you're launching in, consider the surrounding context, what has come before, and at times, what comes after. Consider the context. Consider the context of the entire book. Well, normally I do begin that way. But today I've deliberately and strategically left until the end the context, because I want to drive home all that I've said this morning and all that the text has said by reminding you of the surrounding context this morning. That these instructions, first of all, are in Hebrews chapter 13. Look at your Bible. There's no more chapters to follow. In fact, there's not many verses to follow. These are final instructions. These are instructions, and final instructions are always what? They're always important. They're always important. And in this case, these are final instructions. They're like the author saying this. Oh, and another thing, don't forget to dot, dot, dot. That's what final instructions are. And these final instructions, these all-important final instructions, are given to whom? Well, as I've said for I don't know how many times in the last 18 months, they are given to those who are in immense danger, immense and eternal danger, as they are tempted to turn their backs on their faith, to turn their backs on Christ. And so hear me. The author, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, addressing people who are in that danger, what does he say to them? What does he remind them of in the final instructions? Obey and be submissive to your shepherds, for they watch out for your souls. So again, this has not been an easy message for me to preach, positioned as I am, but it has been an important one. For all of what we've talked about this morning, all of what the text has talked about is, and hear me one final time, all that we've talked about this morning is a God-ordained means by which you are shepherded along in your Christian life, shepherded along to the end of your Christian life, shepherded along to the end. It is a God-ordained means by which that takes place. It is a, in other words, it is a God-ordained means by which God will be faithful to complete the work that he has done or has begun in you. He will be faithful, Philippians says this, he will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. But one of the God-ordained means by which God is faithful to complete that work he has begun in you is to give you a point to where Walt usually is. He's given you shepherds. He's given you pastors and elders. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church. I thank you also for those who have been called here to be pastors, to be elders over the flock. I thank you for those, as I reflect myself, those in years and decades past, who have faithfully exercised that stewardship of me. Pastors and elders who ruled over me and watched over my soul. Father, I thank you for those godly men that you placed in my life in that way. And I thank you also for my co-elders here at Fellowship Baptist Church, for those who labor alongside with me to watch out for the souls of this flock. May we, Father, do so as those who will give an account. May my brothers and sisters here at Fellowship Baptist Church, let us do so with joy. And Father, may it be so, so that all of us will complete the race that is set before us, and that all of us will do so to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Christ's name, amen.